This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
2 Kings chapter 4, this morning with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on the faith of a broken woman. The faith of a broken woman from the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And in verse number 18 is where we'll read. We'll read down a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole story because I'm going to reference it. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. In our text, we are in the land of Israel. We're in the most apostate, godless, forsaken days that Israel has ever known up to this point. The Lord has raised up the ministry of the prophets, and the famous prophet Elijah has stood up. And Elijah has preached and told old wicked King Ahab, called fire down from heaven. And now the time has come. Elijah passes off the scene and he raises up an understudy whose name is Elisha. Elisha is going to be doubly blessed by God because if Elijah did this many miracles, God is going to use Elisha to do double those miracles. You'll find not only did Elisha do double the miracles, but all but that which came at Mount Carmel did he do in a heavier double way. It's a picture of the nation of Israel, who is the prophet Elijah, and then the church is Elisha. It's a picture of Israel and the church. It's a picture of law and of grace. What the law could not do in that of itself, it was weak. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the land of Israel and the nation of Israel failed to do by proclaiming the true God of heaven, the church has been able to do in a double fold, in that we go out and preach the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. But here we find Elisha, and Elisha has come and he's going throughout the land of Israel, and he meets a lady and her husband. We don't know how old the lady is, but we find out that this is a woman that knows God. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1 down through verse number 12, the Bible says that this woman looks at her husband and she says, I perceive that a holy man of God passeth by us continually. She said, it is a rare thing when a man of God passes by. It's a rare thing in this day to have a real man that knows God and God knows him. She says, we can't let him go. We can't let him leave. We can't let him go away. And she told her husband, she said, get the contractor out here and build an addition. The Bible says she builds a prophet's chamber. And she said, anytime, Elisha, you come and go and come and go, you stop here and you're more than welcome to stay. And Elisha looks at her and this is what he says. He says, you've done this for me. What can I do for you? What would you have me to do in the sight of God for you? And his servant, whose name is Gehazi, says, she doesn't have a baby. She doesn't have what other women have. She wants a child. And I want you to notice in verse number 16, the boldness of the faith of Elisha. Verse number 16, Elisha has prayed, and this is what he says. He says, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Now, brothers and sisters, that is mighty bold faith. When you can pray and then look at the one you just prayed for and said, it's done. This time next year, you're going to have a baby. Make sure you name him Elisha Jr. I mean, God has raised up this man, Bob, that has got faith like no other. May I ask you a question that has nothing to do with what I'm preaching, but how bold is your faith in praying? How able and knowingly or in certainty do you pray, knowing that God will give you the desire of your heart that you have prayed in faith, that you are willing to go over here and you are willing to say, honey, God said this is going to happen. Start building this. My wife and I, we've got something we're praying for. I've had people that are praying for, they need a house, their house, they've outgrown their home, their family's too big, and they pray. And the very next day, you know what they do? They go to U-Haul, get the boxes, and start packing the gear long before it even goes on the market. Brothers and sisters, that's the kind of faith that God wants you to have. God wants you to have the kind of faith that you have in your spouse, that when you tell your spouse, honey, I'd like to paint the room, the next day you see swatches or watches, whatever the thing is they put on the wall, the watches or swatches or switches or watch, whatever they put on there, they put it on there. You know that when you ask, it is done. That is faith that is bold. And man, she has a baby. And in our text in verse number 18, the boy's grown up. He's roughly about 5 years old. The scripture says when he was grown, that means when he was able to be weaned from his mother, he goes out with his daddy to work. And they're out in the field, it's summertime and it's hot, and the little boy is working all day, and all of a sudden he grabs his head. And the scripture says he screams to his daddy, my head, my head. I imagined it sounded like the whimper of a broken little child. You can imagine the whine and the moan that a child gives when they're hurting and in pain as he's crying. I wonder if the daddy said at any moment, just, son, boy, man up. Just be a man. Just stop that whine and stop. And all of a sudden, the scripture doesn't say, but I imagine that the boy probably went down and he's holding his head. I don't know if the daddy got close enough to see the pulsating veins in the side of his skull, but something snapped in that daddy and he said, quick, take the boy to his mother. I don't know why he said take the boy to his mother. Maybe he was tired of hearing the boy cry. I believe that I have an idea why he said take the boy to his mother, because the daddy said, I can't do anything with him, but that woman that I'm married to, she knows God, and I know that if anybody can get a hold of God in this situation, it's going to be her. They take the boy back to his mama, and the Bible says they sit the boy on the knee of his mama. Now, you mamas know what it's like. You know when your babies aren't feeling well. You know when it's not good with them, and I believe that mama, with an anxiety that came over her and a panic that comes over her spirit, I imagine the Bible, it doesn't say, but I think I can read between the lines enough to know that while she's a-sitting with that baby on her knees, that or she's rocking that knee, I believe she's calling out upon Yahweh. I believe she's calling out upon Jehovah Shalom. I believe she's calling upon Jehovah Rapha. I believe she's saying, oh God, you've given me this blessing. Please don't take it away. You've given me this touch. Please don't take it away. And the Bible says that at noontime, the boy died. I believe she's holding that boy in her arms. She's holding that hot, fevered brow of that little child in her arms. And about the time she gets out the last prayer, about the time she whispers the last word, his body goes limp. His neck stops convulsing. His arms fall down by his side. His little legs go limp. His little sandals fall off of his feet. And the boy dies. And here is a woman that was full of faith, a woman that has loved God, a woman that has walked in the ways of God. And can you imagine the brokenness that shatters this woman immediately? Brothers and sisters, I'm looking at a lot of people this morning that are broken vessels. You are not a person of sin. You're not a person that just wanders aimlessly about in the holes of the world. You're somebody that's trying to walk with God. You're trying somebody that's trying to seek the face of God, and you're trying to do right. And now here you are holding the empty cavern, the shell of what used to be your greatest blessing, what used to be the greatest thing you had ever known, and it has just fallen limp, and death is taken over. And here we find a broken woman. Here we find a woman that is absolutely destroyed. But brothers and sisters, can I tell you about this woman? This woman is put in our Bible so that the broken people of our day can know that brokenness is not destruction, so that we can know that when we are broken in our soul and broken in our spirit, that God Almighty has still got a greater plan. And do you know what that greater plan is? That greater plan is to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to give you a bigger this or a better that. It's to build that faith up on the inside of you, that through your brokenness you can be used by God. I have 3 points. I probably will not get to them all, but I promise you if I can get through one of them, I'll be a happy slappy camper. Say amen right there. Number one, let me show you if I can the circumstances that shattered her. There are certain things that happen in this passage that break this woman in half. Ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things. Have you ever found that people can do, and they're dumb, they're stupid, they get on your nerves, but they don't bother you? But then there are certain things that happen to you, and what is it my wife says to me? You're pushing my buttons. There are some things that people can do to you, and you ain't never been married until you've learned how to push in buttons. And can I just say, my pastor used to say to me, he'd say, son, you'll know when the honeymoon's over. I used to ask him, after I got married, I'd say, Preacher Lemons, when's the honeymoon over? He'd say, you'll know. You know when the honeymoon's over in your marriage? When you figure out what button to push. And you're really married when you figure out what button not to push. Boy, we're on the same page this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And here the devil knows that we have spiritual buttons. The devil knows that there are certain things in our soul that agitate our soul. There are certain things inside of us the devil can do, and it doesn't bother us. But yet there are certain things that'll come our way, and it'll rip us to pieces. It tears us asunder. It destroys us. And this woman knew that. Ladies, how many of you know there are certain things that can happen to you, and you don't want it to happen? You don't want to have to deal with it happening. But when it comes to your children, when it comes to your greatest blessings, when it comes to those things in your life that are what we call relational, that it is absolutely detrimental. Notice this, it absolutely shattered her. Her son's hurting. In verse number 19, the Bible says that this boy says to his daddy, my head, my head. Do you know what that is? Theologians believe it was probably a sunstroke. It was exposure, overexposure to the elements, overexposure to the things of this world, overexposure to the pain and the hot heat and that thing that just cracked on him, wore on him, and overwhelmed him. That little boy was out there. I believe when he first started, he probably said something to the effect of, I beg of you, Daddy, please, would you give me some help? And the daddy said, you'll be fine. You will make it. I believe at some point along the way, Lord God, my ADHD is about to kill me with this stupid microphone. Somebody pray for me right now. And here's what that boy said. Let's edit that out of television. Somebody say amen. Please, Heather, edit that out. People be sending me Paxil and ADHD medicine and Adderall in the mail. But anyways, here is that mama, and that boy is going, my head. I believe that mama, when she came back, can you hear her saying, I told him not to go out in the sun. I told him not to play out there too long. I begged him not to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest hurts of our soul are when the people, we have begged them not to do something, and they go and they do it anyway. It's when you say to so-and-so, please don't do that. It's not going going to end well. And they walk out there and they do it anyway. And now here is that mama. Can you see her sitting there on that little stoop? And she's rocking back and forth and she's moaning in the minors. And she's saying, please God, I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful to you. And her boy's whimpering. I can see his little eye twitching in pain. I can see the pain overwhelming him. And she's saying, God, I wish I could just take the pain away. I wish I could just take the hurt away. I wish I could just take the issue away. But she is being broken. Every time her boy says, my head, my head, her life is being turned upside down. The second thing that broke her was not just her son's hurting, but it was her utter helplessness. Brothers and sisters, how many of you know, if I can fix it, I'm okay with it. But when it comes to certain issues in life, it's beyond our help. It's beyond our control. It's out of our sway, and it's out of our way. We wish we could change it. We wish we could touch them. We wish we could beg them to turn. We wish we could tell them to stop. We wish we could change it. We wish we could pray them into a better place. We wish we could turn the situation. We wish we could make it rain. We wish we could make it stop storming, but we don't have any power. It breaks my heart when I see my baby sick, but in the spirit world, it breaks me when I see the flock of God that's broken in pieces and shattered in storms and overwhelmed by pain. And I just want to say to you, child of God, I know it hurts. I know you're broken, but let me remind you that the God that saved you is still the God of your soul, and you are not done. But it just shatters her utter helplessness. The third thing that shatters her is the sudden happening. You say, what does that mean? I want you to notice something. In verse number 20, it says, he sat on her knees till noon and died. Noon. They go out to the field before the sun comes up at 6. 6 hours before she was feeding her boy cream of wheat. 6 hours before she was listening to him badger her daddy. 6 hours before she was just going about her business. 6 hours later, she's holding the dead corpse of her greatest blessing. Life changes quickly. Some of you sit in here in utter shock and you say, I just can't believe this is happening. I can't believe it's going this way. Just the other day, just the other month, just the other year, last time at Christmas, this past Easter, it was just the last birthday, it was just the last this, and before you know it, you're sitting there sulking and you're sitting there in pain and you're sitting there in brokenness, and the thing that just overwhelms you is how quickly life has changed, how quickly the doctor has turned your life upside down, how quickly one report has given you depression, how quickly one thing has given you anxiety. And this woman could not believe, and every second that goes by, her heart breaks more and her heart breaks more. I had a lady tell me one time in counseling, she said, preacher, she said, I'm just waiting to get to the point when my heart no longer breaks. I said, sister, can I tell you something? You'll never reach the bottom of that pit, because the moment you think your soul has already shattered as much as it's going to shatter, you'll find there's a whole nother aspect of your existence that has not even been touched by pain. You'll never reach the end. And every second, every moment, she's being broken a little bit more. Her helplessness. God, why can't this change? Why won't you change it? But I want you to notice something about this old lady right here in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, Brother Bob. I want you to notice what this woman does not do. This woman, when her brokenness comes, she does not sit around and sulk and whine and moan and bellyache. You say, you're being mean. I'm just telling you what Tyler does. If this is what you do when problems come your way, then me and you are on the same ship headed to the same shore. Because when bad things happen to old Tyler Curtis, I sit there and I sulk and I whine and I shoot that oblivious text message to my wife, hoping to get a little sympathy, where I say, I just can't believe it's happened happened like this. And I know she's read it because I've turned the red receipts on her iPhone, but she does not respond. She does not send me a sad face mojo. She does not tell me that she cares. All she does is ignore it. And I mean, I sit there and don't you sit there and laugh at me, bless God. Man, you do the same thing. You're sorry, sack of hypocrites. I'm telling you right now, here's what I'm telling you. We sit there and we whine and we sulk and we moan. But I want you to notice what this whole woman of God did. She said, I got to go do something, which leads us to number two. That I want you to show you, if I can, the conclusion that sheltered her. You see, when her brokenness came, she didn't sit in that brokenness. She didn't sit in that apathy. She didn't sit in that problem. She said, I have learned something in my years of living, and here is what I know. I know that there is something that is a shelter above my head. I know there is something that is an umbrella in the storm. I found me something that when the storm is rolling, I have found a shelter in the midst of the storm. Do you know what that was? It was the fact that she knew the God that was is the God that is. And the God that is the God that ever will be. And the God that ever will be, He changes not. And the God that changes not, He's the same as He was yesterday. And if He gave her an impossible situation yesterday, He can handle an impossible situation today. Here is what she found. Number one, I want you to notice what this woman does, the actions of her faith. Here in verse number 21, here is what she does. She goes back, she takes that baby, and she picks up that broken baby, that lifeless boy, and she carries him. But notice where she carries him. In verse number 21, the scripture says that she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Do you know where that was? That was the last place she had heard from God. That was the last place God had given her a burden. The very best thing you can do when you are broken is head on back yonder to the last place you heard from God. If it was a front porch, you go to that front porch today, find your Bible, get on your knees, and say, God, I'm not moving until I hear your voice. If it was an old-fashioned altar, you climb your way to the old-fashioned altar, but you go to the last place you heard from God. We're so foolish in the fact when bad things happen, what do? We bounce from yonder, we go to yonder, we head back that way, we go that way, go talk to 500 people and can't figure out why God's not there. We need to go back to the place where we last heard from God. And notice in verse number 22 and verse 23, I'm fixing to make some people angry, but I just don't care because I want to show you what she does in verse number 22. In verse number 22, it says, and she called, verse number 21, notice the last part. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him. Why in the world did she shut the door? You know why? She didn't want anybody else to know how bad it was inside that room. She didn't want anybody else to know what was going on inside that room. You say, was she trying to hide it? You bet your bottom dollar she was trying to hide it, because she knew that when God showed up, it was all going to be okay. So she just needed to keep it concealed until God showed back up. Let me tell you the worst thing you can do. And I want all of my ladies and all my men to look up here in my eyeballs, because I love you in Jesus' name. The very worst thing that you can do when you have a problem, a concern, or an issue is find your stupid phone and get on that little blue app that has an F on it and tell God and everybody about your problems. And let's just go ahead and stop with the little posts that say, I've got a real issue. Would you pray for me? I'll tell you what you do. Get on there. Sing a psalm, say, sing unto the Lord a new song, praise ye the Lord, tell everybody how wonderful it is, then go in your closet somewhere and get on your face before God, because here's what she did. She didn't tell mama about it. You'll notice she didn't even tell her husband about it. Look in verse number 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Notice what her husband says in verse 23. He says, where Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither a new moon nor a Sabbath. You know what she said? He asked her, he said, why do you want to go see him? It's not even time to go to church. What do you want to go to church for? Ain't no time to go to church. It's not Sunday. It's not Wednesday. And notice what she says in verse number 23. She says, it shall be well. You know what this broken woman said? You know what this broken mama said when her husband said, why are you going there? Here's what she said. She said, it's all good, honey. It's all good. You say, but wasn't her baby dead in the room? Yeah, but it was still all good. It was still going to be okay. You say, how can she say that? I'll tell you how she can say that, because the God that put that baby in her barren womb is going to be the same God that she runs to pull that baby out of the arm grip of death. She says, don't you worry about it. Here's what I want to recommend to all the ladies, all the men, all the young, all the old, all the young, all the old, all the rich, all the poor, all the fat, all the skinny, all the white, and all the black. Here's what you do. Next time you've got yourself a problem, next time you've got yourself an issue, instead of running to 500 different people, and I am finding that the people that I run to are not people that are going to tell me the truth. I just want somebody to agree with me. Can I ask anybody, are you not the same way? I just want somebody to tell me I'm not in the wrong. I'm not the one messed up. But instead of telling 100 different people, here's what you need to do. You need to not tell anybody. Somebody says, how's your day? Here's what you say. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. It's never been better. I'm glad God's still on the throne. I'm glad the Lord is still on the throne. I'm glad God is still in charge. You say, is that lying? No, last time I checked, God is still on the throne. God is still good. And life is still in the palm grip of God Almighty. Here's what you don't say. They say, you look down. Here's what you say. I hadn't been sleeping much here lately, but I believe all of that is about to change. You say, how's that going to happen? Because here's what she's going to do. She's only going to make one phone call, and she's going to the man of God. You have one phone call. It only matters who you call. You go to God. Stop telling 1,000 people. Stop telling everybody your business. Stop giving Facebook posts and Twitter posts and Instagram posts, and even sharing spiritual Bible verses about God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Get on your face before a holy God and say, God, I'm coming to you, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, and I'm believing in you. She took it to the man of God. You know why? Because she'd been there before, and she was headed back there again. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice how steadfast she was in her faith. Look in verse number 24. She was determined to get to Elisha no matter the outcome. Verse 24, watch this. Then she sat on an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me. She didn't care what, who, how, nothing. She was getting to God. She didn't care about the physical harm that came to her way. Beloved, she said, do not stop your driving until you see the man of God. You know why so many of us rarely see the miracle of God work in a situation or turn something around? Can I tell you why? We're afraid of what people are going to think. You know my problem? Because I ain't going to preach to you. I'm going to preach to me. Only person who knows this is going to be my wife. You know what I do when I have problems? Oh, I want God to work. Oh, I really do. Mike, I really do. But immediately I start thinking, how can I frame this so people don't think bad of me? If they find out why I'm staying on that altar, they're going to really think something about me. If they find out why I'm not eating, they wonder why I'm a fasting, they're going to wonder what's going on in his life. Is the preacher not well? Is he thinking about leaving? Does he have another opportunity? And I'm sitting back here, I'm thinking, God, please, I'm begging you to work, I'm begging you to move, I'm asking you to work, but just Let's do it quickly so nobody knows. You know what this woman said? She said, I don't care if I get saddle sores on both of my legs. You ride until you get there. Don't stop riding for me. I don't care if I walk with a limp when I get off of this donkey. I don't care if I drag my leg when I get off of this donkey. You get me to Elisha and you get me there quick. I wonder, where is the reckless faith that our grandparents used to have? We live in this politically correct society where everybody's afraid what everybody else is going to say, and we're so afraid of getting offended on this person and offending that person. Beloved, when you have got something you want to take before God, here's what you say. You ride that donkey until you get to God. You get there no matter what you've got to do. You say, but what will they think if I go to the altar? Number one, they probably are going to think that she's got a problem, he's got a problem, and he went to God. Don't let the devil build up something in your mind that will not happen. You get there. But here's the thing. What happens if everybody in the church, everybody at your work, everybody at the school, everybody at the PTA, everybody at the QRF, everybody at Rice Toyota, everybody at Lincoln Duncan Honda, everybody at microphone.com, what happens if everybody in your existence says they've got problems, she's messed up, he messed up? Here's what I say, I don't care, because as long as I get to God and as long as the answer comes, I'd rather hold the answer in my hand and have 1,000 people before my feet than to have 1,000 people in my face with no answer in my hand. You get to God no matter what. You pray, you fast, you seek the Lord. You don't allow that brokenness to destroy you. Now, I want to show you one thing, because when I get there, I got to get there. Number three, I want to show you the Christ that saved her. Because when she goes to a man whose name is Elisha. Here's what you got to know about Elisha. Elisha is a type of Jesus Christ. He was the anointed prophet of God. He was the one that had come to bring salvation to Israel. You say, preacher, I've got a problem. Don't tell me what your problem is. I'm not God. I don't have any power. I'll tell you what you do. You have the same access to God that I have. I'm not some special priest. I don't live behind a curtain somewhere. I live in the same nasty now that you live in. But here's what I know. I know that I have access because 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, for there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Bob, you know who goes to God for me? Jesus goes to God for me. You know who goes to God for you? Jesus goes to God for you. You know who goes to God for you, Chris? Jesus goes to God for you. Jacob, you know who goes to God for you? Jesus goes to God for you. Megan, Meredith, you know who goes to God for you? Jesus goes to God for you. I don't have a special place. You don't have a special place. The only place any of us have is in the riven side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been placed in his wounds, set in his palm, written on his heart, and we've been given access. So here's what I'm saying. You take it to God. There's three scenes I want to give you. Let me give them to you right quick. Number one, let me show you the scene from on high. When I saw this the other day in verse number 25, when I saw verse number 25 the other day, I had me an old-fashioned Pentecostal, Baptarine, Nazarene, snot-slinging, Holy Ghost spell. I'm talking about the kind your mama used to have, your grandmama used to have, kind where the bobby pins fly out of your hair, the kind where you don't care who's around, the kind where you don't care if anybody's around as long as Jesus is around, the kind that people talk about you after. I mean, absolutely, got in the Holy Ghost. You say, where were you? I don't know, but I was somewhere between here and the third heaven when I saw this. I want you to notice something. She's on the ground running to Elisha, but Elisha is at a high place and he's looking down. The scripture tells us he's at Mount Carmel. And in verse number 25, here's what I'm saying. Verse number 25, I want you to notice. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her, when the anointed one saw her, when the one that sat up on high saw her, I want you to notice what he says. What verse are we in? Just making sure y'all hadn't forgot. Here's what it says. And when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, you ready? Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. He said, I recognize that woman. I've been in her presence before, and she's come before me before. I recognize her. She's not a stranger at my court. She's not a stranger at my feet. He's looking up on high, and he sees the donkey riding, and he says, my God, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Yonder comes that woman that's been in my presence before. Yonder is that woman that's been broken before. Yonder is that woman that needs my help. I want you to take your eyes, lift them up out of this atmosphere, go beyond the second heaven and go to the third heaven where God the Father sits, and at his right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ in the glorious heaven where there are streets of gold, where the jasper walls glimmer, where the crystal river flows, where the golden throne is surrounded by an entire rainbow all the way around it. When you come into the presence of God, here's what happens. When you get so full and you say, I just can't take it anymore, I gotta get to God, and you kneel down in that little place, if it's in a closet, if it's on an altar, are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. All right, here's what she does. When I kneel down in prayer, my spirit is lifted up into the third heaven. You say, do you feel it? Nope, I'm not saved by feeling, and I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith. But the Bible says that my prayer goes before the Father by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what happens. I believe Jesus looks down the way and he says, behold, yonder comes that preacher. Yonder comes that servant. Yonder comes old Tyler. When you kneel down before God, I believe he looks and he says, yonder comes old Lynn. Yonder comes old Cindy. Yonder comes old Denise. Yonder comes old Lorraine. I believe he says, angels, clear me out of path. Move yourself over. Let the holies reign back there. There's somebody coming my way. I'm telling you right now, the devil does everything in his power to keep you from praying, because he knows what happens in that scene on high. When the people of God walk into the presence of God, they say, behold, yonder comes that child. Yonder comes that prayer. Yonder comes that seeker. And she gets into his presence. And I want you to notice what she does. Long about verse number 26, 27, and 28. Verse number 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet. You know what she did? She got in the presence of old Elisha and she fell down. She fell down at his feet. Here's what she said, Brother Bob. She said, I don't have time. I'm not worthy to stand at your face. I'm not worthy to hold your hand. I want to get down at your feet. You know when somebody gets at somebody's feet in the Bible, you know what that is? That's the position of worship. You remember old Mary? Martha's in the kitchen serving, and the Bible says that Mary, she bows down at his feet. There's that woman with the alabaster box, and she cracks that thing open. She takes her hair, and the scripture says she washes his feet. Brothers and sisters, when you kneel down, you do realize when you're in that place of prayer, you've been ushered in to the presence of God. And here's what she does. She grabs a hold of the feet of Elisha, and she grabs a hold, and this is what she says. She says, Gehazi says, I'll go on down there. She says, oh no, Elisha, I'm not leaving until you go with me. I wonder, where are the women of God? Where are the men of God that say, God, I'm not leaving this place of prayer. I don't care what's on this. I don't care what's on that. I'm not walking out of here until you walk with me. Brothers and sisters, Elisha gets up. Now, there's a whole nother message, but here's what I want to say. Elisha comes. He walks into her house. He shuts the door. You know what that means? He works in private. He works where nobody can see her. Here's what we're wanting. We're wanting God to make a big show. We're wanting God to do a big thing. God doesn't work that way. Right now, you're sitting in this auditorium and you don't realize it. And I don't see it because it's not a big thing. But there's an inner work going on. There's a secret place that's getting knocked on. There's a door that's getting rattled by the God of heaven. It's an inner work. It's a secret work. Don't you deny the plan of God just because you don't see it, Brother Bob. And he goes in there, and I want you to notice what he does. He puts his mouth on that boy's mouth. He puts his hands on that boy's hands. He puts his legs on that boy's legs. He puts his chest on that boy's chest. There's a whole message on imputation, but I want you to watch this. That boy is probably 5 years old. Elisha is probably 50 years old. Elisha is a much bigger man than that little boy. Therefore, he can't put his mouth on that boy and his feet on that boy at the same time. So you know what he had to do? He had to work on him slowly. He had to go mouth to mouth. Then he had to move and go arm to arm. Then he had to work chest to chest. Then he had to work leg to leg. Then he had to work belly to belly. Then he had to work heart to heart. And watch this. After he got done with the whole work, all of a sudden he lays his chest on that boy's chest, and the life from Elisha went into that little boy. And watch what that little boy does. The scripture says he sneezes seven times. Sneezes. Do you know what sneezing is, Mike? I didn't think anybody would. I didn't even. Somebody asked me. Here's what it is. It's a semi-autonomous, convulsive expulsion of air from the lungs through the nose and mouth, usually caused by particles that are foreign to the mucosa. You know what that means in redneck? Something got in there that irritated something in there, and it had to come out here. You say, what was that? I'll tell you what it was. Those particles of death were inside that boy. Those particles of disease were inside that boy. Those particles of brokenness were inside that boy. And as soon as he put his face on his face, his mouth on his mouth, his arms on his arms, life flew out of Elisha and went into the body of that boy. And when life came in, death had to go out. When life came in, death had to leave. And here's what happens. That boy got to sneezing because air that was inside had to come to the outside. You know what air is a type of in the Word of God? It's a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Ghost of God got on the inside of that boy, and what got on the inside had to come on the outside. You say, when's God going to work in my situation? He does it slowly. He puts his mouth on the mouth, then he works on the arm, then he works on the leg, then he works on the stomach, and finally when he does his whole work, that's when God finally brings life. We get so discouraged because God's not doing it right now. I'm telling you, broken child of God, you hold your head up high, you keep on praying, keep your arms wrapped around the feet of Messiah and say, I'm not leaving until life comes back. Now, I just got a glimpse of something. Lord God, I just got a glimpse of something. Here comes Elisha. Elisha's got that boy. He's put arm on arm, foot on foot. He's put mouth on mouth. But I want you to notice, what did he have to do in order to get in that room? Carrie, come here, brother. Come here, brother. Come here. Come here, wild man. You be Elisha, I'll be the woman. The boy's over there. Stand up. Oh, God. Please heal my boy. Oh, God. And he starts walking. But he can't go too fast because guess what he's got? He's got somebody he's dragging with him. Oh, God, go get my boy. God, please don't leave. Please don't let him die. Oh, God, please don't let death come. Oh, God. But when he got to the door, you know what Elisha said? He said, I'll have to take it from here. You can't go where I'm going. You can't do. So you know what Elisha had to do? He had to shake her off. Here's what she does. She shakes her off. And you know what she does? She lets go. Here's my question. What made her let go there when she didn't let go back there? She felt something. Something on the inside. Something happened where she knew he's about to do business. Here's what you do. You keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on going. You keep on trusting. You keep on building by faith. You keep on walking with God by faith. You say, when will I know He's going to answer it? Honey, I'll tell you when you'll know. There'll be a shaking on the inside of you like you've never felt before, and you'll know God's here. God's on the scene. God's in control, and everything's going to be all right. Here's what happens. 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 There's a dead boy on the floor. There's a dead boy on the floor, and he's on that ground, and here's what happens. He's dead. He's dead. Here's what happens. He's dead. Elisha comes in. You don't have to do this. He puts head to head, hand to hand. Lord God, we ain't doing that mouth to mouth. We're not Unitarian Universalists. We're Baptist. He puts hand to hand, leg to leg. And as soon as he gets chest to chest, warmth leaves him and he starts to get up. Starts to get up. Now, Chris, y'all stay right there. The door is shut. Scott, I'm done. I'm done. The door is shut. As far as she knows, God or Elisha has still got to do the work. So guess what she's doing out here? Oh, God. But what she doesn't realize is the work's already been done. And the day comes. And the day comes. And the scripture tells us in verse number 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And when she was come in, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet. You know where she got after the miracle was done? She got right back at his feet. When God answers your prayer, let that drive you now from desperation to glorification. Where you say, oh God, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy. Now watch this. Watch this. You ready? You ready? Elisha's right there. Last time she was at his feet, she was by herself. But now, when she's at his feet, she's a crying and she's a weeping. And she looks at the other foot and she sees little tears. And you know what she realizes? Because of the faith of a broken woman, she's now brought somebody else to worship the Lord too. Faith and the brokenness that God has put you through, it doesn't make you useless. When God breaks you, He's brought you to the place of usefulness. You don't throw in the towel on God. You don't turn by the wayside. When God breaks you, that's when you run to Him and say, I'm here and I'm not letting go until you heal me.